Mahabharat, Chapter 42, Dhritarashtra's Message. The Pandavas were sitting alone with Krishna when they received word of Sanjaya's arrival. Yudhisthira asked that he brought in at once and received him warmly. Sanjaya bowed before Krishna and all the brothers. After he was seated, he said to Yudhisthira, "It is fortunate, O King, that I find you in good health and among friends. Surrounded by your brothers and the illustrious Krishna, you appear like Indra. The aged and wise Dhritarashtra inquires after your welfare, along with the well-being of your wife and other relatives." After saying that everything was well and asking after the Kuru's welfare, Yudhisthira said, "Do the Kurus still think well of us? Do they remember Arjuna's unequal prowess and that he can send 60 arrows at once from his bow? Do they remember the mighty Bhima, who can make entire armies tremble when he picks up his mace? Do they remember the twins, who conquered so many regions of the earth by the strength of their arms? Surely Dhritarashtra's sons have not forgotten the defeat they met at Dvaitavana when Bhima and Arjuna had them released. Although we would be their friends and live with them in peace, I fear this will not come to pass. Alas, Sanjaya, there seems to be no way to win Duryodhan over, despite our best endeavors." "It is exactly as you say," Sanjaya replied sadly. "The Kurus are well, and they certainly remember you. Duryodhan is surrounded by both wise and wicked men, but he takes his inspiration only from the latter. His behavior toward you is surely reprehensible. His father sincerely regrets it. Indeed, the old king often sits sighing, lost in feelings of repentance for the ill treatment you brothers have received at Kuru hands. He has consulted Brahmins and knows that conspiring against friends is the worst of all sins. The king wants only to make a lasting peace among us all. Yet the Kurus remember your power. It is a mystery how men of your caliber are forced to suffer so much misery, but we are sure that you will never abandon virtue for the sake of pleasure. O you who have created no enemies, listen now as I convey to you Dhritarashtra's message." Yudhisthira asked that Sanjaya speak the message before all the kings gathered at Virata's court. The charioteer then stood in their midst and bowed before speaking. "I offer you my respects. Dhritarashtra has sent me here to say that he desires peace. He inquires about your welfare and asks with all sincerity that there be peace among us. This is what he said. The sons of Pandu are all virtuous. They are incapable of a mean act. Yudhisthira is mild, generous, and forgiving, and acts only for the welfare of all beings. How could he be responsible for an act which will destroy us all, which is sinful, and which leads only to hell, an act which will bring the same result, regardless of who is successful? Blessed are those who promote their cousin's interests. They are truly sons, well-wishers, and friends of the Kurus, who are prepared to sacrifice their own interests for that of the dynasty." Krishna smiled. The kings glanced at each other. Dhritarashtra's message was clear. They listened as Sanjaya clarified it further. "If you succeed in subjugating the Kauravas, O sons of Kunti, and thus regain your kingdom, what will you gain? Having slain your relatives, your life will be like death. What will be the result of a battle in which heroes such as yourselves, Keshava, Satyaki, Chekitana, and others contend with Drona, Bhishma, Kripa, Ashvatthama, and the Kuru warriors? It means total annihilation. There will be no good to either side. I find it hard to believe that the Pandavas are capable of causing such destruction. With clasped hands I fall at the feet of Krishna and of the aged Drupada. Throwing myself upon your protection, I beg that all be well between the Kurus and the Pandavas. If someone requested it, would you give up your lives? Why then would you not act to preserve all these warriors?" The hall remained silent. Yudhisthira waited until Sanjaya had taken his seat, and then said mildly, "What have I said that made you think I wanted war, Sanjaya? What man so cursed by the gods would choose war when peace could be made? The sons of Kunti will act only according to virtue, and thus bring happiness to all. One who acts according to the senses dictates follows the path leading to misery. We become free from misery only when we are free from the longing to gratify our senses. Dhritarashtra and his foolish sons fail to understand this truth. They act in ways which never bring happiness. Yudhishthir looked at Krishna, who smiled in approval. The Pandava stood as he continued to speak, appearing in his robes and ornaments like a golden banner raised in honor of Indra. Having accepted the advice of his dull-headed son, who is wicked and addicted to sin, the king now laments. Why did he not heed Vidura's words, who desired only the Kuru's well-being? To gain prestige for himself, Duryodhan seeks to deprive others of prestige. He is jealous, wrathful, haughty, spiteful, and filled with lust. Dhritarashtra knows what his son has done, but still he chooses to follow him, thus forsaking both virtue and pleasure. He cannot hold his ill-gotten gains for long, although he wishes for unending prosperity. He and his son desire to rule the earth undisputed. We have heard nothing to indicate that they have changed their minds, O Sanjaya. They now consider whatever our wealth they possess to be rightfully theirs. Yudhishthir indicated the kings who sat in a circle around the hall. All these monarchs know how Duryodhan came to possess our kingdom. He and his brothers, along with the unintelligent Karna, think they can overcome us in battle. Obviously, they have not seen Arjuna with his Gandiva bow stretched to its limit, nor have they seen Bhima whirling his mace, or the twins with their swords in hand. Sanjaya, you know the troubles we have borne in the Kuru's hands. Even so, I forgive them. Let there be peace between us. Let them return Indraprastha to me, and they keep Hastinapur. Let Dhritarashtra return what is rightfully ours. Sanjaya had delivered Dhritarashtra's message, but he now wished to speak on his own behalf. He was surprised to see the usually peaceful Yudhishthir so inclined toward war. There can be no doubt that you are attached to virtue, O king of men. Why do you desire to destroy the Kurus? Death may come at any moment. It behooves all men to remain fixed on the path of truth. No one should even contemplate sin, for that may immediately lead one to hell. O Bharata, if the Kurus will not return your kingdom without war, would it not be better for you to live as a beggar than to seek to annihilate them? Indeed, you could live happily with Krishna and the Yadavas. Desire for wealth is the enemy of virtue. A wise man should shun it entirely. One who renounces desires and lives simply, even though devoid of wealth, shines like the sun and becomes famous in this world. But one who is the slave of desire, even if he obtains the earth, is ruined. As Dhritarashtra's intimate servant, Sanjaya wanted to carry out his mission to secure peace. He knew that the Kauravas could not win in a war, but he also doubted Yudhishthir's motives. Sanjaya was a spiritual disciple of Vyasadeva and had received many instructions from the Rishi. It seemed to him that Yudhishthir was allowing himself to be overpowered by material desire without considering what might be in his spiritual interests. Sanjaya maintained a respectful tone. O son of Prita, you have studied all the Vedas and performed asceticism. You have controlled your mind and senses, and you are dedicated to performing sacrifices and giving charity. Why are you now giving way to anger? You are already famous in this world as a man of the highest principles. You have presided over the Rajasuya and offered gifts to hundreds of thousands of Brahmins. O king, do not let this go in vain by now committing a great sin. Do not act impelled by malice and thereby destroy the results of all your asceticism and sacrifice. Forbearance is surely best for you now, not the enjoyment gained at the cost of great men's lives. What happiness do you think you will enjoy when you and your brothers have slain all your relatives? Even after gaining the earth, you will have to reap the results of your good and bad deeds. Happiness and distress will arrive in due course, and in the end you will meet with decrepitude and death. O hero, knowing all this, you should not fight. If your advisers would have you fight, then you should abandon them. Do not forsake the path that leads to the worlds of the gods and beyond. Sanjaya sat down, and Yudhisthira thought before replying. The sound of the jewel fountains in the gardens just outside made a gentle cascading resonance. Temple bells chimed in the distance. Fragrant incense billowed throughout the hall. The kings awaited Yudhisthira. Finally, Yudhisthira said, "It is undoubtedly as you say. One should never stray from virtue. But before blaming me, you should first ascertain whether it is virtue or vice that I am following. Sometimes virtue may look like vice, and vice is virtue. Only after careful deliberation can one discriminate between the two. All men should follow the duties prescribed for them according to their respective social positions. Brahmins may beg for a living, but Kshatriyas may never beg. Even in times of distress, kings and rulers should not accept alms. The Creator has ordained that we should live by gaining lordship over lands and protecting the people. I would not accept this entire earth, nor even the kingdoms of the gods, through unrighteousness. Here is Krishna. He knows every facet of Vedic knowledge and possesses full wisdom. Let him decide what is right in this case. I will always follow his dictate and will never ignore his advice. Keshava is our friend and well-wisher, and we will hear his opinion and decide what should be done." As Yudhisthira took his seat, Krishna stood. His bodily luster seemed to illuminate the hall with a mystical radiance. Shining yellow silks and gold ornaments framed his complexion, which resembled a blackish autumnal rain cloud. Turning his lotus eyes toward Sanjaya, he said, "O Sanjaya, I desire that both the Pandavas and the Kurus be happy and prosperous. I want peace, and I am happy to see that Dhritarashtra also desires it. Yudhisthira has already shown a rare kind of commitment to peace, since it is he who has been antagonized and abused by the Kurus. Why should he suddenly wish to escalate the conflict between himself and his cousins? Surely, Sanjaya, you know as well as I do the nature of right and wrong. Why then do you find fault with Pandu's son, who has always adhered to his duties as they have been laid down in the scriptures since the days of old? Regarding our present discussion, there are two schools of thought among the Brahmins. Some say that by renouncing our duties we shall achieve perfection, and others say that duties should never be renounced, but should be performed without attachment. My opinion concurs with this latter view, O Sanjaya. Even to maintain himself, a man must perform his duties in this world. Knowledge without work yields no fruit." Krishna held up a bejeweled hand as he spoke. "See how the gods in heaven shine through work, how through work the wind blows, and the sleepless sun gives rise to day and night. Sleepless does the earth goddess carry her load, and sleepless do the rivers carry their waters to satisfy all creatures. Indra attained his exalted status by giving up pleasure and sense gratification. This is true of all the principal deities. Knowing this, O Suta, why do you plead on behalf of the Kauravas, exhorting the Pandavas to renounce their prescribed duties? You are wise and aware of the truth. Then consider this question. Does a king's duty lie in fighting or in not fighting? Surely you know that the Creator endowed kings with the power to check and even kill miscreants. Dhritarashtra has robbed Yudhisthira of his rightful property. Whether one steals covertly or openly, stealing is sinful. Should Duryodhan and his followers not then face the consequences of their sin? Is Yudhisthira not justified in seeking to recover his stolen property, even if it means killing the robbers?" Krishna looked at Yudhisthira and his brothers, who sat together like a pride of lions. The eyes of all the kings turned toward them as Krishna continued, "Certainly Yudhisthira desires peace. But if his kingdom is not returned, then my opinion, it is his duty to declare war. Indeed, it would be virtuous and praiseworthy to be killed fighting in such a religious war. It is better that Yudhisthira regain his own ancestral kingdom than to take the kingdom of another. O Sanjaya, go now and lay these ancient principles before Dhritarashtra, amid his sons and the assembled chiefs of the various countries. Krishna paused. His audience was absorbed, accepting his gently spoken arguments. Even Sanjaya nodded his head in agreement as Krishna went on. My dear Sanjaya, let me remind you that the Kurus committed their sin in their own council hall. All of them, even Bhishma, was silent when the chaste Draupadi stood weeping in Dushasan's clutches. That slave of lust viciously dragged her before her fathers-in-law to abuse her and insult her. If Dhritarashtra had checked his sons, the other kings also remained silent. You too, Sanjaya, did not utter a word. Now you want to preach righteousness to Yudhisthira. Krishna's eyes flash as he described the incident. At that time, Karna spoke such sharp words to Draupadi that they pierced her heart. Become the Kaurava's slave, the fool said. Your husbands are no longer your husbands. Choose another man. Karna's arrow of words also buried itself deep into Arjuna's heart. The sinful Shakuni again and again urged Yudhisthira in the dice game. You have only Draupadi left. Stake her, O king. Again, when the Pandavas were about to depart to honor their vow, clad in black deerskins, Dushasan said, These eunuchs, vanquished and ruined, are going to hell for a long time. Krishna paused again to allow his words to sink in. After 13 years, the shock of those terrible events had worn off. But as Krishna described them, Sanjaya remembered the horror of that day. He knew he had been wrong to stand by silently as Duryodhana and his friends committed their crime. Out of loyalty to the blind king, he had watched in anguish as the noble Pandavas, and especially their gentle wife, had suffered unbearable insults. Without doubt, the seeds of the present calamity had been sown at that time. The arrows the Kauravas had shot at that time would now come back at them as blazing shafts launched from the Gandiva. The elder's silence on that day would soon be answered by the clamor of fierce battle. Sanjaya bowed his head. Krishna continued, I shall go to Hastinapur to remind the Kurus of all these events. We will settle the matter. If I can bring about peace without injuring the Pandavas' interests, then I will have performed a virtuous act. I will also have released the Kurus from the clutches of death. I hope Dhritarashtra's sons will receive me with respect when I go there to speak of virtue and humanity. If it is otherwise, you can be sure that those men, consumed by their own viciousness, will lose everything on the battlefield. At the proper time, Bhima, mace in hand, will remind Duryodhana of his cruel words. Looking around the hall, Krishna concluded with a number of poetic metaphors. Duryodhana is a tree full of malice, Karna is its trunk, Shakuni its branch, Dushasan and his brothers the numerous fruits and flowers, and the blind king Dhritarashtra its root. On the other hand, Yudhisthira is a tall tree of virtue, Arjuna is its trunk, Bhima its branch, and the twins its fruits and flowers. I myself, along with the Vedas and the Brahmins, are its root. O Sanjaya, tell your master that peace with the Pandavas is the only intelligent course. The Kurus are like a forest, and the Pandavas are the tigers. Without tigers, men would cut down the trees, and without the forest, the tigers have no protection. They need each other. The Kauravas are creepers of virtue, while the Pandavas are huge saw trees. Without the support of a tree, the creepers cannot grow. Pandu's sons are ready to either wait on Dhritarashtra or ready to fight. Everything depends on how the king acts now. Go back, wise one, and explain all this to Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya made no reply. He knew that Krishna spoke the truth. Bowing respectfully to him, he turned to Yudhisthira and said, "With your permission I will leave. O God among men, I hope I have not offended you in any way." After saying goodbye to Janardhan, Bhimasen, Arjuna, and Madri's sons, as well as the other heroes in the assembly, "Please give me leave to depart. May happiness and prosperity be yours. May the king look upon you with goodwill." Yudhisthira folded his palms toward Dhritarashtra's secretary and replied, "O Sanjaya, we know you are our well-wisher. Your speech did not offend us, for you spoke with a pure heart. Surely you are our favorite, and you have always shown us so much affection. Other than you, only Vidura could have come here. O wise one, please convey our regards to our elders and friends. Offer our respects to the Brahmins and our affection to the people. Is the king protecting them well? O Sanjaya, are the arrangements we made for the well-being of all our subjects still in place? I hope no person is needy or afflicted within the Kuru's jurisdiction." Yudhisthira named the Kurus one by one and asked Sanjaya to go to each of them on his behalf and ask after their health. At last he said, "Go to Duryodhan, who is dull-headed, ignorant, wicked, and addicted to vice, and say that the desire tormenting his heart for undisputed rulership is not justified. Tell him this, we shall not do anything disagreeable to you. Either give back Indraprastha or fight, O chief of the Bharatas." The assembled kings cheered Yudhisthira's words, and the Pandava raised his hand to silence them. Turning again to Sanjaya, he said, "I pray that the Supreme Lord will bless that foolish man with wisdom. Sanjaya, also say this to Duryodhan. Pandu's sons are ready to forget even the disrobing and abuse of their wife, just so that the Kurus may not be slaughtered. We will bear all of the ills and insults they have heaped upon us, but we want our due share. O best among men, give up your greed for others' property. Only then will there be peace. We will accept even one province so that we may perform our God-given duty of ruling over and protecting the people. Give us just 5 villages, one for each of us, and let there be an end to this quarrel. Let brother follow brother, and father unite with son. I desire to see the Kauravas and the Pandavas coming together with cheerful hearts. To do my duty, I am prepared for peace or war. The choice is in your hands." When Yudhisthira was finished, each of his brothers gave messages for the Kauravas. When they had all spoken, Sanjaya said he would repeat their messages exactly as they had been spoken. Then he bowed before the assembly and departed for Hastinapur.